Good morning. It's good to see you this morning, and thank you for braving the inclement weather to be here in the house of the Lord as we worship our God. And I pray this morning as we focus on the passage of Scripture that's been selected, we will do just that. A few announcements for you tonight. There will be no children's choir. We do have a time tonight singing here in the sanctuary, celebration in music, testimony time through music. If you have not signed up, please do that at the Welcome Center. There is a sheet there. Also, there's a senior adult luncheon on Tuesday the 14th, which is Valentine's Day. You can sign up at the Welcome Center for that as well. There are always a need for devotionals being expressed on our upward halftimes on Saturdays. If you are able to help with that, please contact the church office. Brother Steve, I know, would appreciate that as they're putting forth that outreach ministry for us on a regular basis. And I'm going to encourage you to read your bulletin. There are a lot of things going on. We have a need for a nursery worker. Sandra Schutt would be the one to contact for that. Also, there is an association-wide golf tournament, which is a fundraiser for the association. And if you know some friends you want to get out there and swing the club with, there's information on the bulletin boards out in the foyer. And also, we do have an important vote this morning. At the end of the service, we will be taking up a request for a motion to take an item off of the table, and we'll take care of the business of proposing to hire and call Houston Cummings as music director here at First Baptist Church Edna. And so be prayerful for that as we approach the end of the service as well. Brother Ike Peterson will come at this time and lead us in our opening prayer. And so let's be prayerful minded, Brother Ike.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you with humble hearts this morning, rejoicing we can be in your house. We invite your presence, Lord. Thank you that we can come into it. Lord, it may be dreary outside. We pray together that your sun would shine in this place on each of us. Father, you would have your way with us. Lord, we just rejoice in the many blessings that are ours. We do beg forgiveness where we have failed you so miserably. I ask you to forgive us. Forever thankful, Lord, grateful for the sacrifice you made that we might have forgiveness of sin. Lord, may our attitude be that of gratitude, not just on this Sunday, this Sabbath day, Lord, but every day. Thank you, Lord, that your word reminds us. We love you, Lord, and we need you. We seek you here this morning. Lord, we thank you for any visitors that we may have and pray they may feel the peace of Christ in this place. Lord, may we have opportunity to greet each of them. Thank you for them. Lord, thank you for each family that's represented here this morning. We do ask your watch care over them, each one. Lord, we're mindful of those in our church family, friends, neighbors, and relatives that are ill, even some with disease. Each of us today here are thinking of someone, and many have been praying a long time. We continue to lift them up to you and ask, dear God, your divine touch and healing upon them. Dear God, we begin our worship now. As we sing, as we hear your word proclaimed, let our ears and our heart be attentive. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Welcome to God's house this morning. I hope you're here to worship and to praise God. We're going to start with that with hymn number 206, Blessed Be the Name. Would you please stand?
Blessed be the name, blessed be the name.
our God and Jesus being the King of Kings.
In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light. Until from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes. To fulfill the law and prophets, to a virgin came the Word. From a throne of endless glory, to a cradle.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty.
Let us pray. Father, we come to you once again. We thank you for the privilege of being here this morning and for worshiping you, for being with your people, and for partaking of the absolutely beautiful word of God, of your word. We pray this morning that you'll open our hearts to hear, understand, be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, that you'll speak through Brother Robert as he preaches your word, and open our hearts to hear. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us, and we pray that this offering this morning will be used for your honor and glory, as is everything in this church. Be with us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
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 The splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, and trembles at his voice. How great is our God! Sing with me, how great is our God! And all will sing, how great! How great!
Holy and great God. Thank you for staying with us. You may be seated.
Thank you, Houston and choir, Miss Sheila. All of you singing so well this morning, practicing for tonight. That's good. When I was a fourth grader, I attended Wood High School. Some of you may know where that's out. I lived in Telfner, and the school bus would come pick us up in Telfner and take us out to Wood High. And there was a season there where this guy would get off at the bus stop two blocks before mine, run down the block toward his house, and then cut across and intersect me before I could get off the bus and get down the road to my house. He's going to remain unnamed. I remember his name, but he's going to remain unnamed. And he would beat me up just to face. I was a runt, and I was good pickings, and I got picked on. But he would do that every single day. One day, out of desperation, I took my swing and I inflicted a serious blow to his jaw, which I felt terrible about because later I heard he had to have it wired shut. I really did. I felt terrible. I didn't want to hurt somebody. I just wanted the stuff to stop. And so I acted out and I thought, good, that will finish it. Well, his parents came to the house, told my parents. My parents got me in trouble. I didn't think it was very fair. I thought that I had done what I could to protect myself. And I can tell you, in the following years, I was picked on a lot. I was always a runt of a kid till I got out of school. But when I got to junior high, I befriended two girls. Yes. From my neighborhood. And it was the hood. And these two girls, Carla and Elva, were my buddies. And when all of the bullies heard that Carla and Elva were my buddies, the picking stopped. I had a guardian. I had a protector. I had somebody who would stand in my weak stead and would take care of me. And I mean, even when they weren't around, the bullies would say, not going there. No. I was protected. Now, a few years have grown. I'm a little bit bigger. I don't get quite picked on quite as much. I still do in some ways, but things are a lot different because now I have a protector and a faithful guardian who is always present to help me, whether it's a physical dilemma, medical dilemma, emotional, spiritual. I have a protector. I have a guardian who watches over my soul, not because of anything I've done, not because I was good, not because I grew up to be big and somebody worth protecting. I'm his because he loved me and he died for me. And I acknowledged his sacrifice for my sin and I surrendered to him as my Lord and Master. And now I have no worries about what man might do to me. And listen, believer, that should be the truth for you. You have Christ Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You have a protector and a guide. And we're going to talk about that this morning when we look at Psalm 124, one of those songs of ascents. We're going to look at how we can celebrate our faithful guardian. Be reminded that we have a faithful guardian whose eye is always on his own. And we're going to celebrate that by the time we're done here this morning. If you will, stand with me as we read 8 verses out of Psalm 124, which is the entire psalm, another song of ascents, this one written by David. And listen to these words out of the expression of his heart, celebration to the Lord. Had it not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the waters would have engulfed us. The stream would have swept over our soul. Then the raging waters would have swept over our soul. Blessed be the Lord. Arise, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your strength, and let your priests be clothed with righteousness. Did I turn too many pages? I'm sorry. Let me go back. I just noticed that. When it turned into 27 verses, I said, something's wrong. I didn't study that. Blessed be the Lord, verse, who has not given us to be torn by their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the trapper. The snare is broken, and we've escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we acknowledge you today as we have through song, as we have in prayer, that you are our God and how great you are. And Father, we could stay here all day and name all the things that we have experienced out of your bounty, that we have seen as blessings in our lives because of what you've done for us. But Father, our praise and our gratitude to you goes beyond what you've done to who you are. And Lord, you've committed yourself to be a guardian of your people. And Lord God, help us to come to that understanding this morning, to be encouraged in it, to be reminded of that, and to celebrate you accordingly. Thank you, Father, for the provision of your Son you gave to die for us, of the Spirit to come and seal us when we believe, and then, Father God, the Word to instruct us and guide us as we walk through this life until we see you again. And then, Father, the provision that you are sending your Son again to come in the clouds of the sky to bring us to be with him for all eternity. Lord God, who else will we turn to? Teach us this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. May be seated. So remember, Song of Ascents are given so that the pilgrim who was making their way to Jerusalem would worship the Lord and be prepared in their hearts to worship this God. And this would be one of the songs that they would be reminded of in their preparation of coming before the Lord and enrich their worship. The psalmist is David. We know that that is truth, but we do not know exactly what this song is in reference to. Some scholars have said it's to the Exodus. It's a reminder and a celebration that God protected the Israelites when they crossed the Red Sea and dry land and the waters didn't come over them. Their enemies could not take them on because the Lord was their protector. And that could be a great application. But we also know that David had many other crises in his life. Personal trials. King Saul pursued him, and the Lord protected him. Many times there were so many close calls, and then the Lord would call King Saul away, and he'd go, and there would be protection for David. He would be spared. His son, his own son, Absalom, a young man who took revenge on someone for raping his sister and got out of sorts with the king and then came back to the kingdom and built up a group of people who would support him. And then he tried to overthrow his own father's kingdom and then was determined to chase him down and kill his own father. God spared David from that. And then the Philistines always retaliating against David because David had killed so many of them and taken credit for that during his time of serving even King Saul. So there are many crises that this could apply to as David is expressing this provision that God had given him, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side. I think about these words of this psalmist, and it's kind of like, what if? You ever been in a situation where you've gone through an intersection and just right behind you an accident occurs, somebody runs through a light, or you were slow getting to an intersection and something happens right in front of you and you go, whoa, wow, what if I'd have been 2 seconds quicker? 2 seconds slower. I think all of us can testify to somebody telling us about that if we've not experienced that. There have been moments in your life where the Lord has protected you. You might say coincidence, whatever. God's hand was there. God's hand guided that situation. God's hand spared you. For whatever reason, you were spared. Because God's your guardian. The Lord God watches over his own. I praise the Lord for the fact that Christ Jesus died for my sin and I have a security in him, but what a blessing it is to know that every single day he's watching out for me. Look how David puts it. If it wasn't for the Lord being on our side, what would become of us? That's David's observation. Remember, as he's progressing, they're thinking about moving to worship with the Lord. This is one of the reminders. What if the Lord wasn't on my side? moving toward that time of falling before his face, worshiping the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. What if he wasn't on my side? Where would I be? We do well to reflect upon the times the Lord has watched over us, because you can be sure the forces of wickedness are scheming behind the scenes to trip you up. The MO of the devil, Jesus said, the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. There's nothing nice about any of that. His desire is to destroy the good. And even if he can't take your soul, he will mess you up in your testimony. He will do what he can to make you an unfit believer. That's his job. He wants to mess with the people of God. He's jealous of God. That's why he's the devil. His pride overtook him. He wanted to be God. Convinced some angels to join him, and that rebellion failed miserably. And he knows his day is coming. His time is ticking down, and he's got a judgment waiting for him. Believer, beware. But praise the Lord that the Lord's on your side. Because Christ Jesus bought your soul. You know, there are many more worse things that could happen to each one of us if it were not for the restraining power of the Lord toward his children. And we should count our blessings. When they do happen to us, when we are spared, remember them. One commentator notes, it's the delusion of Satan to diminish and obscure the gracious acts of God. That when God spares you, we overlook that. Say, oh, it's a coincidence, or I'm so glad my friend called me at that time, or I'm so glad that this was happening here, rather than look to God and give him the glory and to remember it was God who provided for you, sparing you in that moment. Satan wants us to forget about those things. Do you remember what the major sin of the Old Testament was when the prophets speak again and again? It's God through the prophet saying, you've forgotten me. You've forgotten the blessings, the abundance that you've experienced out of my bounty. You're not remembering how I've been to you. And this was the failure. It can oftentimes become our failure. If it wasn't for the Lord being on our side, what would become of us? Where would I be if it weren't for him? That question could be raised up out of this context. Where would I be if it weren't for him? And for all of us, I'll tell you, we would be hellbound. We would be going in a place opposite from where Christ dwells. If the Lord were not on your side and you were only one that had control over your life, you were the king of your own ship, you determined what happened to your soul, you'd be in trouble. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world does. Listen, if it weren't for Christ being on your side, you would be lost, separated from his goodness, his grace, his kindnesses. Where would I be? The Apostle Paul wrote, we were dead in our trespasses and sin, but God, rich in mercy, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ, raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's a provision that cannot be bought, it cannot be earned, it cannot be imagined or hoped for outside of the work of Christ and trust in him. He attained that for us through his blood. And without him rescuing us and watching over us, we would be lost. And there could be much presumption, imagination, speculation that man can rescue himself. That is just a lie of the devil. Some hold to the idea that faith is fantasy, it's just wishful thinking. And that's because some just don't believe. But for those that do, you know different. You know it's real, that God's hand's upon you. You're inclined to give credit to the Lord God when you're spared. You think about the fact that he saved you for a purpose, and if he takes you, he wants you to be with him. Look, the Lord loves us. But the Lord God, he loves the death of his saints too, because he's bringing home his child. But as long as we're here, we can serve our king. So whatever you might speculate or presume, you can't put yourself in the place of God. You have to trust him and let him be the guardian. Those who by faith trust the report of the Bible, the Word of God, the supportive ministry of the Holy Spirit, the testimony of those who throughout the ages have experienced the benefits of the Lord God through His rescue, protection, provision, spiritual prosperity. They know this declaration to be true and real. Listen, if you've experienced the love of God in your life, you know these things to be true. Even though life has thrown at you difficulties and grievances and hardships, you know God's real. And you would not have made it unless He'd been on your side. I've heard that comment many, many times. People that go through the loss of a loved one, through the loss of a parent, loss of a sibling, a loss of a child. One of the main comments I hear, how do people who don't have the Lord get through this? If the Lord were not on my side, where would I be? People, when they were transformed by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and they endured persecution, they died for a cause and did so with a caring heart for those around Him, they could not have done that unless it were for God investing Himself in their lives. No one can do any of those things and endure what life throws at you without the Lord being there, and it's a fool who says he can. The psalmist goes on in this, had it not been for the Lord who was on our side. And he says, let Israel now say, because He is calling to those that belong to Him, His chosen people that He called out of the world to be His chosen people, through whom the sacrificial lamb would be provided. He said to them, let us now say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose against us and would have swallowed us alive, and by their anger would have kindled that anger against us even unto death, when men rose up against us. Look, there is the very real danger that people will not always agree with you and will rise up against you for various reasons. And I will say this, especially if you're a child of God. We are becoming increasingly more a society that does not want a reminder of holiness around them. In fact, there are great calls to come against the church, against holiness, to have the right to worship, to have the right to express your faith. This is a reality in which we live. Listen, men will come against you, and they will use what tools they can to come against you. There is that danger. And especially if you trust the Lord, a God they can't see. It's not reasonable to them. And listen, sometimes the world has a right to be angry with you and I because we ain't doing it right. Even the Apostle Peter even said that. Look, if you're being persecuted because you've done something ignorant, you deserve the persecution. But if you're walking with the Lord, you're walking in holiness and goodness, and still men come against you, just like those early disciples, count it joy that you're counted worthy to suffer for Christ. Listen, remember those words. Listen, folks, 10, 15, 20 years down the road, you're going to need to remember those words. Count it all joy that you are worthy to be counted as one who suffered for Christ. We don't like that prospect, but it's a reality. Jesus spoke to His disciples, said, the world's hated me. Guess what? They're going to hate you too. Timothy was spoken to by the Apostle Paul through a letter he wrote to him. And Paul said in his wisdom, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Listen, expect it. If you live for the Lord, if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be trouble. Now, some of you, it may not be too harsh. It may just be that somebody makes fun of you, or they just stay away from you, or they call you a name. That's not going to kill you. Look, sticks and stones break my bones, but words will never harm me. I know we live in a day-to-day where words, you got to watch your words. There's one who can kill not just the body, but the body and the soul to eternal hell. It's only one, and it's the Lord God. The scripture over and over again tells us, and I read it again this week at least three times, fear God. That's your salvation, to fear God, because He's the only one that can take your soul and cast it away from Him forever. No one else can do that. No human being, no devil, no demon, nothing else in all creation has control over your soul if it belongs to Christ Jesus. only God. Fear him out of a great holy reverence for his power and his might and his wisdom. And trust him. And praise him. If it were not for God being on my side, what would men do to me? Mere men. And maybe you've borne the rage of persecution. When you stand on the ground of an issue that's without doubt biblical, whether it be the issues of the day, abortion, homosexuality, sexual immorality. Listen, we want to focus on homosexuality. And listen, sexual immorality is just as bad. Heterosexual people hooking up and living out of wedlock and playing the fool. It's not just one group, it's humanity in their sinfulness. When you stand on a ground, you know you have a God who supports you and loves you in that. And be sure you stand on that ground with great generosity, with great grace and love and desire to see the hearts of those who come against him to be transformed. There have been people, even in our day, who knew the Lord was on their side. A coach fired for praying with his athletes. Released. Vindicated. Allowed to have his job back. Bakeries, they're shut down because they will not give in to the desires of certain people groups. They want to maintain their own right to be able to do what they want to do with their business and how they're represented. Shut down. We live in that day. Teachers released from their duty because a child wants to be called a boy when she's a girl, or a girl when she's a boy. We live in a crazy world. Persecution will come in all kind of different forms. But we must remember, as the children of God, if it weren't for God being on our side, what could man do to us? Psalmist mentions these waters engulfed us, streams, raging waters swept over our souls. Listen, perhaps there have been those times in opposition a man was like a flood of overwhelming waters, or the circumstances of your life were like overwhelming waters. They're designed to drown and overcome your soul. At least that's the way you feel. You didn't feel like you were going to come out of the trial alive, or maybe you're in that trial right now and you're not sure exactly how it's going to come out. When I was young, somebody felt sorry for my brothers and I, and we got signed up for a camp at YMCA. We couldn't afford it on our own, but somebody got us in a camp, and one of the days we were in the pool, some of you have been in that pool, and I remember holding on to the side and moving my way down to the deep end of the pool. I didn't know how to swim. I remember some lessons, but I got down to that end, and some of the bigger kids kind of nudged me away from that, and I was out in the middle and sank to the bottom. And instead of remembering, relax, take it easy, and you'll float to the top, I started going crazy trying to get myself out of there, and all I did was sink like a rock. And I mean, the more I struggled, the more I felt I was in trouble, and I came to a point, and I tell you this, I came to a point where I said, I'm going to die. Let's just accept it. And I pretty much gave up. And then lifeguard jumped in, pulled me out. I was fine. But I'll never forget how I felt like those raging waters were going to do me in, and I was going to be dead. And even as an unsaved little boy, God sent that lifesaver in there to pull me out of the waters so I'd have a day or more ahead of me, because he needed me for something. Didn't have any idea at that age, none. But I'll tell you this, I felt like it was over. The waters were tremendously overbearing. And you might be going through that right now. Let me tell you, if you're a child of God, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, the psalmist says, if it were not for the Lord being on your side, you would be overwhelmed. You would be destroyed. You would be overcome, and you would not be able to handle life. Listen, we come in to worship our God. And oftentimes, these trials that we experience, they are difficult and they're hard. But I love that the psalmist doesn't leave it there. Look at verses 6 through 8. Blessed be the Lord, who's not given us to be torn by their teeth. This is not his purpose for us. Our souls escaped as a bird out of the cage of the snare of the trapper. It's like the bird was captured and somehow was able to work its way free and is finally free to fly away unharmed. The snare was broken. We've escaped because our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. We have to remember the Lord God who guards us. I like that. It's not given to us to be torn by their teeth. There are times when a believer might get cancer and even die. There are times when a believer might get in an accident and perish or have to live the rest of their life paralyzed. But their soul is always intact because it is secured and sealed by the Lord God. I think about those three Hebrew children in Daniel chapter 3, especially in verses 17 and 18, when the king called them to himself and said, "Listen, bow down and worship me, or I'm going to burn you in the furnace." And their response to him is something we need to keep in our hearts. Our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from this furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand. Now, there's two things they're talking about. He can deliver us out of this fire, but he will deliver us out of your hand. And even if he does not deliver us from this fire, let it be known to you, O king, we will not serve your God or worship your golden image that you've set up. Now that's resolve. That's trust in God. And no matter what the circumstances of my experience are, God doesn't fail me. God is there. And he holds on to me. And my trust can be in him, even if I'm burned to a crisp. You remember their experience? When they pulled them out, they didn't even smell like smoke. None of their hairs were singed, their clothes. You know, I can go out here and visit with the guys when they're barbecuing or making burritos. And I stand by that pit for 2 minutes. I smell like a barbecue. They were in the middle of a fire, cranked up 7 times normal, burned up the guys who threw them in there, and they came out not even smelling like smoke, not even singed. That's because of that fourth person that the king saw in there. God, the person of his son Christ, he protected his own. Even if he burns us up, he's here to take us to himself. But while he was here, he decided to protect us and to bring us out, not even smelling like smoke. Because that's our God. He may not always rescue you from that, but he will always rescue you to himself. Can you imagine their worship experience after that rescue? Can you just imagine the heart of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they went to their God after that and they just praised him for such a deliverance that now they could testify of God's goodness? That would be nothing like it. But there is something like it. It's how God's delivered you. You remember yourself before Christ came into your life? Maybe some of you were children. Maybe this might be a hard one for you. I didn't come to know Christ till I was 19. There was a lot of junk in my life. And I can remember what the Lord rescued me from and how he promised to seal me and hold me all the days of my physical life and then into eternity. Spiritually, it was his, secured. I have never forgotten that. And listen, I've done some stupid things. I've said some dumb things. I've thought some terrible things. But the Lord's been faithful on his end to hold and secure me. If the Lord were not on my side, praise the Lord, he was on my side. Now, does that mean I was always right or good? No, and you're not either. You know how you get on his side? You get in Jesus. Inside Christ Jesus is where we find safety from condemnation. Romans chapter 8 verse 1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You say, well, how do I get there? You get there by losing your own life. Jesus said those who lose their own life will gain it unto eternal life. Those who want to hold their life and save it will lose it. There has to come a point where you recognize my sin has taken me down the road of separation between me and God. And unless he had rescued me and given me an understanding my sin was taking me away from him, I would just keep going that direction. And when he finally opened my eyes and he showed me Christ Jesus, who died for that sin, took my place, satisfied the Father with that sacrifice, I could trust him. And in trusting him, I had the security. He came down in the person of the Holy Spirit. He sealed me up, and he acknowledges with my spirit, I'm a child of God. And some days I'm like, Lord, are you sure? Because I don't always act like the Lord. I don't always talk like the Lord, and I don't always think like the Lord. But he has saved me. In spite of myself, for the sake of his Son, who was faithful to offer himself up for sinners who would surrender to him and trust him. The moment I did that, I was in Christ. And now there is no condemnation for me. The end of that letter, the Apostle Paul says, who can separate us from the love of God? Can persecutions or powers, principalities, things in heaven, things in the earth, things under the earth? Nothing in all creation. He makes that statement. Nothing in all creation can separate me from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus. You know how God's on my side? It's because I'm in Jesus, and he's not going to leave his Son alone. The only time that happened was at the cross, where Christ was carrying our sins. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's the only moment there was separation between Christ and the Father. But after that sacrifice, restored to his glory, given full authority, and those that he saves, they're precious to the Father. That's how God's on my side. It's how God's on your side as a born-again child of God. And you can know that. And I don't know about you, but when I come into worship and I think about praising the name of my God and the power of this God and the wisdom of this God, I think about he rescued me and he made me one of his own. And now he's by my side all the time. What joy. How can I not worship a God who's helping me worship him because of who he is, because of what he's done? Be personally converted to faith in Christ. Listen, deny yourself. Trust the sacrifice of Christ. Yield yourself to him. And then live your life consecrated, sanctified, set apart to the lordship of Christ. Always be yielding to Christ, to the Father, to the Son, and to the truth of his word that he left us to instruct us. And always be looking to grow. Listen, we can't afford to just be spiritual babies in the world in which we live. You cannot afford to just be tossed about by every wind of doctrine. You must be grounded and growing. It's not enough just say, oh, I have Jesus and I'm just, you got to be growing. Grow. If you want to be a good servant of the Lord and represent him well in this world, you got to be advancing. Listen, I love toddlers. I've got some grandkids that are still little bitty. I wouldn't dare want any of them to be president of the United States. They're too dumb. They don't have experience. They haven't grown up. They don't know stuff. You think God wants his children just being a bunch of toddlers running around? We are his children, but we're not to be babies. We're to grow. Get beyond the milk. Get in the meat of the word. Grow. And as you grow, you'll become more and more assured, the Lord's on my side. Because he'll assure your heart and you'll hear it more clearly as you grow in him. Listen, believer, we can approach our worship of the Lord God in a fashion where we say, you know what? The Lord's been on my side this week. I've noticed it. I've seen where he has walked with me and he's restrained me in some situations where I wanted to just somebody. He's held me back when I wanted to say something I shouldn't have said. And he's also cut off sometimes thoughts. When I headed a direction, he gave me a distraction. He moved me to another thing. The Lord God's on your side, child of God. Worship him. And listen, if you don't know Jesus, you heard me prescribe a moment ago what it takes. Trust the Lord who sent his son to die for you, because there's nothing you could do about it except trust him. And then he puts himself in your life and he'll never leave. The psalmist knew that. This worshiper knew this. And as David was moved by the Lord, whatever his experience was, it moved him to write this song. He knew that God had been on his side. Not because of anything in David's life. He knew he was an adulterer. He knew he was a murderer. He knew he was a man of blood. But he knew God was holy. God was his redeemer. And he was looking forward to the day the Messiah would come. And as God would have it, the Messiah would come through David's lineage, Jesus the Christ. I pray you've trusted Christ. If so, you can say with the psalmist, had it not been for the Lord being on our side, what would men have done to us? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for your goodness, the privilege to be in this house today to worship you. Father God, to hear your word, to sing praises, to pray, to connect with you, and even with other believers. Lord God, may our time here today have been well spent to honor you, glorify you in all things. Now, Father God, as we move to this issue and matter, extending a vote for Houston Cummings, we pray, Father, that you would guide us, give us wisdom. Help us, Father, to be attentive to you above all. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Brother Houston, lead us this time of response. I'll be here at the front to pray with you. The altar will be open. Let's take time to do that.
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy in him, Lord, and he will surely give by trusting in his word. Only trust him.
Our Father, we thank you for allowing us to be in this house today. And as we move forward, we do want to praise your name. Thank you for being on our side because of Christ Jesus. And Lord God, may we yield ourselves to you in every moment, in every way, so that you are exalted in and through our lives. Father, we love you. Thank you for your great love for us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you will, be seated at this time to introduce to you, many of you know David, and perhaps have been helped by him. Come stand by me, David. Some time back, David received an invitation from Kenneth Cope to come and visit church and see what the Lord was doing here. And over time, the Lord has been working in David's life. He said a long time ago he got baptized as a church member. He's kind of been off on a little tangent, and now he's come back and serving the Lord, and the desire to be a member here. He's experienced a believer's baptism and would like to come by statement. And so we will be voting on that at our next church conference meeting. But if you are glad that he's come today, perhaps celebrate that. Amen. He might give you a discount next time. Who knows? I'm sorry, you know. I'll let you take that back and finish it. After the service is concluded, we can come by and visit with him and give him encouragement. So thank you, David.
I'd like to end with our doxology, if you would. If you would please stand and let's end with the doxology.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow.
God bless. We hope to see you back tonight.